Es ist wieder soweit. Der Herbst steht vor der Tür. Die Tage werden kürzer und es wird vor allem wieder ein bisschen kälter. Viele Menschen könnten auf die kältere Jahreszeit gut verzichten. Wie schön wäre es, wenn der Hochsommer das ganze Jahr andauern würde, am Wochenende die heißen Temperaturen am Badesee genießen und abends lange draußen sitzen. Klingt super? Nun ja, aus Sicht der Wissenschaft ist wohl eher das Gegenteil der Fall. Die zunehmend spürbaren Folgen des Klimawandels und auch die Prognosen für die Zukunft sind besorgniserregend. Ein Ausnahmesommer, wie beispielsweise der von 2018, kann durchaus zur Regel werden. Die neue Studie des Helmholtz-Zentrums für Umweltforschung hat die Auswirkungen der europäischen Dürreperiode von 2018-2019 erforscht. Mit Herrn Dr. Kuma habe ich über die Ursachen und Konsequenzen dieser Entwicklung gesprochen. Ich bin Sophia Ulrich und ihr hört Neutron, den Wissenspodcast von M94.5.
Seit der Veröffentlichung einer Studie
digitales Modell der Lunge.
Dadurch kann der Auskühlungsprozess der Leiche
Milliliter pro Kilogramm idealisiertes Körpergewicht.
Ach, Fantastika. Ziel der Wissenschaftlerinnen und Wissenschaftler ist es
Neutron. Neues aus der Forschung.
Dr. Kuma, I'm really pleased to be able to welcome you today. Could you please briefly introduce yourself?
So my name is Rohini Kumar. I'm basically trained as a hydrologist and I work at the Helmholtz Center of Environmental Research at UFZ in Leipzig.
So your study has recently been published in the journal Scientific Reports. The focus is on the classification of the exceptional 2018-2019 Central European drought in the context of all climate data of the last 250 years. In your opinion, why is the increasement of the occurrence of droughts an important topic?
Well, that has to do with the fact that there is a certain multiple dimension that it can affect the multiple sectors. The drought affects the multiple sectors, for example, agriculture to industry in terms of transportation of the water when the low flows are appearing, and also in terms of sometimes the human health condition if there is a land surface interaction. So if the droughts are coming and we are getting a lot of heat, then that also had certain effects on other stuff. So basically mainly the agriculture sector and also the vegetation sector that gets very much affected by the droughts, and that clearly says like the importance of studying droughts or in general the hydrologic extremes.
So the 2018-2019 Central European drought lasted almost 2 years. Regarding the last 250 years, it is no surprise that it's therefore also known as an unprecedented record. Were there comparable droughts before?
So let me put it that one, that when you say that it lasted, it is still going on. Because that is what still we have to do the analysis, and 2020 is still one of the warmest and driest year. We still need to look through the data set to confirm these things. But I must say that it is not yet finished. It is still ongoing. But since the project, when we started, that time we had the data till 2019. That's why we look into the two successive events. What was interesting, or what is like a unique contribution of this study, is that looking at two successive events. Most of the prior studies or many studies has looked to the 1 year events, but here was the two successive events. So if I remember here, can you again repeat that one, the main question that you want to ask?
Were there comparable droughts in the past before?
So that is the point, that when we look at two successive events and how much area that covered in the Central European regions, the last event that we found out that in the successive years that it happens was 1949 and 50, and that covered only 33% of the area. 33 or below the one third of the area of the Central Europe, which we defined. And this event was already crossing around 50. So this event is already exceptional. That's what we told, like exceptional in the sense that this has never occurred, or at least we have not seen in given our record and data sets. We didn't see that one. That on that term, we can tell that one, that this is the exceptional event.
You've already said that a drought has devastating consequences, especially for our ecosystem. How long does a regeneration take? So you've already answered this question, that we still are in regeneration of the drought of 2018-2019.
Oh, well, it's not the regeneration. I meant to say that one, that event has not yet stopped. Event is still going on because we are still in the drier phase. So if you remember from the experience of 2020, it was also one of the, still the 2020 is going on, but the summer, which is like we define it like in the Central European reason is like a June, July, August. It was still considered as many places saw very drying conditions and very hotter conditions. We still need to analyze. But regeneration or ecosystems questions. Yes, we have seen only the remote sensing data to understand that one, how the vegetation health looks like in 2018 and 19. And combinedly these 2 years, the events, the vegetation healths were very poor. If you remember the 2003 event, it was more extreme events. But then the data suggests that in 2004, we went to the normal condition. The same way 2015 was one of the very extreme event, but 2016 went into the normal condition. But this doesn't happen with 2018 because we were in drought. Then we went to 2019. It was again under the severe drought. So this was like a 2 times the strong impact came in consecutively. And regarding the adaptation, this is what is now we as a scientist are looking at in the another spectrum, that can this ecosystem adapt? Can the ecosystem adapt to the new events, and in which way? It's an open question for everybody, or do we want to go into that phase?
Okay, so I understand. So the fact that there were 2 droughts in 2 following years has huge impacts. Dr. Kuma, we all know that droughts can negatively affect flora and fauna, but not only nature, also we humans are suffering from the consequences of global warming. Besides agriculture and the vegetation sector that you've already talked about, which sectors are most affected?
Transportation sector, for example, when we have a low flow in the rivers, that is like when we have no rainfall or increased evapotranspiration or water losses, then we have a low flow in a river. So low flow in the river directly affects the transportation that the ships use to go, right, so on the rivers. That is one. In terms of human effect or human health, so you can think about that. Like I come from India, basically, and there is a hotter weather. And sometimes you can also find the effect of the drought in interacting terms. Interacting terms meaning that the temperature gets hotter, and then it becomes like also some effect on the human health also start appearing into account. So to my knowledge and to my domain, I mean, like I basically work with the ecosystems and hydrologic systems, effect of hydrologic systems, so that I would limit my comment to mainly to these bigger impacts where we are looking at. But there are definitely other effects.
I can imagine. I've also read that your study includes different climate scenarios. Could you please tell us more about that?
So climate scenarios are a way that how we see like how the future would be envisioned, like from a high emission scenario, moderate emission scenario, warm, low emission scenario, and that are called as a representative concentration pathways, RCPs, and 2.6, like end of the century, where we want to go at a low warming level, and then RCP 4.5, moderate, and RCP 8.5 will be like the extreme scenario that where the temperature, global mean temperature, rises in a drastic way. And in our study, we looked into these kind of scenario, that these kind of 2 year extreme events that we saw in the Middle Europe that covered almost like more than one third of the area of Europe, how these events unfold in the future. So, and in the post 2050 to 2100 under different emission scenarios, meaning that we looked into the RCP 8.5, what is the frequency of these 2 years events that increases, and we found out that it is almost like a sevenfold increase of events that appears in RCP 8.5. Then we looked in what happened in RCP 2.6 and RCP 4.5, which is a moderate and low emission scenario, and we saw the drastic decrease in a frequency of the projected events, the future events. That says that one, that in which pathways we take in future has a consequence on appearing of these events. And that gives a strong message about where do we want to go from now to the future.
So you've talked about three options, but in your mind, which climate scenario is most likely to happen and why?
Well, that's again the question of more from the point that that has a more complex scenarios involved. And as a scientist, we design, we provide, and more depends from the policy formation point of view. So my personal choice, apart from the scientific world, if I tell about from my point of view, I would definitely want to have the governments taking a strong action to go through the scenario that gives a lower warming scenario, because our study, or personally, our study points out that on those scenarios, there are less harms. Impacts are quite less compared to higher warming scenario. So my personal decision would be, like, if I have to stand, I would stand that for my future generations, that we should go for low warming scenarios conditions that we have univocally, as a scientist has been telling for a long time.
It's also really nice to hear your mind. So climate change is obviously happening much faster than we expected. And regarding the risk of droughts occurring more often in the future, are there already adaptation strategies?
That is one of the very important questions that we are now discussing, that if we go to the future and there are going to be some events happening on a larger rate, or then do we need to adapt, and in which way do we need to adapt, and when do we start adapting to that one? This is the climate initiative, that the Helmholtz Climate Initiative, that started last year, and that has a big chunk that tries to look for the adaptation policies. And that would try to answer in future the questions like which scenario, which strategy do we take, which drought resilient crops we need to do, how the farmers are going to adapt, which kind of policy interventions are needed. I mean, like, these are open questions to us, which is challenging. And this is what we are now trying to more or less focus on.
So you're trying to figure it out. Is it possible to predict droughts with the help of these climate models?
I mean, like, in the sense that climate models are only giving us guidelines or pathways that how the project is going to increase, or how the droughts are going to increase, in future. And these are the best tools that we have at the moment. So if we want to go through, look through the lens from the climate model point of view to the future, we have the tool which is called models. It has enormous knowledge from all the generation of the scientists that we have been putting up. Prediction of the future is always hard, but at least this model indicates towards how the trends might look like into the future.
I can understand, because we don't know what will happen in the future, right? So a reduction of the emission of greenhouse gases is essential to restrict climate change. What else can every single person do in particular to reduce the frequency, but also the intensity of droughts?
Well, first and foremost is like how the topmost government actions and policies are going to implement on the to reduce and curb the emission scenarios or greenhouse gas scenarios. But definitely we also, as a human being, could also do something, or most of the thing, from the bottom-up approach to also reduce our own footprint. For example, if we make a choice of not buying a car but going through a climate-friendly bikes, then we could reduce at least a part of our CO2 footprint. If we reduce, for example, meat consumption, we are also going to decrease quite a lot of CO2 emissions that are related to that one. In multiple ways, on a personal level, we can try to reduce the CO2 footprints if we are really serious about those climate change aspects.
That's great. So there's so much that every single person can do, and I hope that we'll all work together. And yeah, hopefully droughts will not be there too often in the future. Thank you so much for this interview, Dr. Kuma. It was so much fun and so interesting. And have a nice day.
Thank you. You too.
Neutron. Neues aus der Forschung.